Welcome back to Network Talk. I am really excited about today's episode because we have got something to celebrate. Just a few weeks ago, Daxa was honoured with the Eco Performance Award 2025 in the Large Companies category, recognising outstanding achievements in sustainability and innovation in logistics. And who better to talk to about what's behind this success than the person driving much of that change, Daxa's Chief Development Officer and member of the Executive Board, Stefan Holm. As CDO, Stefan is in charge of the Executive Unit IT and Development, and he oversees the development and implementation of the company's climate protection strategy. Basically, he's the one helping shape how Daxa moves towards a more efficient, digital, and climate-friendly future. So he's the perfect guest for today's episode, really. We will talk about what this award means, how Daxa is navigating the road to decarbonisation, pun absolutely intended, and what role optimised processes, energy efficiency, and of course, innovation and research play in creating a more sustainable logistics network. And that benefits us all. So whether you're directly involved in sustainability or not, this is a topic you should care about. So let's jump straight into the episode. Stefan, hello and welcome to Network Talk. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Hello, it's a pleasure.
Could you please kick off the episode by introducing yourself and your role at Daxa?
Yeah, for sure. I've been with Daxa since ages. I started in 1992 as a dual student. Then I moved to the former head office in Munich, developing our WMS, our warehouse management software, Mikado, for some years. Did the rollout. Then I wanted to become a branch manager, which I became in 2004. Moved to the branch in Hof, logistics center Hof in Franken, which is north of Bavaria, leading that as a general manager for 7 years. Then I came back to Kempten, being a corporate director for solutions, established research and development. And since 2021, I'm the Chief Development Officer, member of the Executive Board, and overseeing corporate solutions, the corporate IT, digital innovation and development, contract logistics, R&D, finally also corporate sustainability and enterprise architecture coordination.
That is a very impressive career. I think now you've been at Daxa longer than I've been alive, which is certainly an achievement. This episode, we are celebrating Daxa's win of the 2025 Eco Performance Award. So a huge congratulations is in order. What does achieving this recognition mean for you personally and for Daxa as a company?
Yeah, I think it's really great that we got the award for Daxa and also for me personally, because sustainability at Daxa is not a marketing tool, but a core element of our corporate responsibility. And we chose a different way. We do not produce headlines. We are doing really realistic step. And this is really great that the jury honored our concept.
And that's wonderful to have been recognized for that. I think it's great when sustainability is not just a performative thing, but is a core aspect of that company. Now, I don't want to embarrass you here, Stefan, but you are no stranger to awards. You've been named Logistics Leader of the Year by the jury of the Logistics Hall of Fame in 2025. You won an award from the German federal government for sustainable urban logistics in 2018 and the prestigious Leo Award for Innovation by German logistics trade journal DVZ in 2023. So you are an excellent guest to have on the podcast for this topic. But looking at the most recent of these awards, the Eco Performance, Daxa obviously won this award for a reason. So could you outline the key aspect of Daxa's climate protection strategy and also what makes it unique?
I would say in 2015, we started to think about how can city distribution, how can corporate sustainability implemented in our real life. And we already at that time came up with process efficiency, energy efficiency, R&I, research and innovation, and being a corporate citizen plus. I will explain later maybe a little bit on that, because this is also quite special. And in these pillars, we really try to move on, try to things happen. discover what things are working, what things are working not. And meanwhile, we have 3 e-mobility sites where we really tried out different technologies like battery charging, grid loading, battery electric vehicles, photovoltaic on top of our warehouses and transit terminals. So a huge combination of different means trying to achieve really the reduction of emission. And I think we could prove meanwhile that this works. It also costs money and it's a lot of investment which has to be taken. But nevertheless, these are the means we need to create a zero emission transition plan to know how we will build our future on. And maybe saying some words, I did not personally win the awards. That was really a team performance. And I'm very thankful that I have such great colleagues in the executive board. And for sure, the members of my teams, they also contributed a lot for sure.
That's lovely. I mean, we are going to talk more in detail about the specifics of some of those pillars a little later, as you mentioned. But I first want to set the scene with some more general questions. This idea of sustainability is a very interesting topic, especially right now, because I've heard a lot that in logistics, when things get complicated or costs go up, which seems to be increasing more and more this year with the trade wars and the geopolitical tensions that we've seen, I've heard that sustainability goals can be put on the back burner and stop being a priority or even a consideration for some companies. So how is Daxa progressing on its path to decarbonisation amidst all of this chaos that's going on?
As sustainability is really one of the core values, we are continuing our way, which we already started 10 years ago. And therefore, for sure, we also have to prioritize, we as a company, but also the other members of the industry, they have to have the means to invest into the right technology. Nevertheless, there's only one climate, and this climate has to be protected. And maybe the current priorities are a little bit shifted because of the economic crisis in Europe. But nevertheless, there are so many things to prepare. And as we always say, we need to find the right speed, how much we invest, how much we invest in pilots. And there are for sure a lot of use cases which are already realistic, where we can help our customers to improve and where we also have benefits out of it. And therefore, it's a clear statement, we will continue what we started a decade ago.
Yeah, it is clear that it's very important to Daxa. But from a wider industry view, do you think the rest of the logistics industry sees it as a priority? I mean, what is the overall progress towards decarbonization at the moment? Are we on track, do you think?
It's a very difficult question, I must say, because there are, and this is how I started, a lot of headlines in the industry where there are commitments on 2030 saying that half or even more of the emission will be reduced. And to be honest, nobody knows exactly where the measures, where the technology should come from, especially the energy. There's a huge, huge demand of additional power consumption. And if you all add that up, also using HVO as a bridging technology, this is really, really a difficult task. And therefore, I would really like to see more realism in the industry, really taking the real steps, being able to finance them, but also for sure doing pilots to be ready for a real transformation. But overall, I would say the industry itself is a little bit behind what is stated in the media.
Yeah, it is such a huge task. So it is important to be realistic, as you mentioned. You often describe Daxa as an impulse generator for sustainability in logistics. So can you give us a few examples of innovations or pilot projects that demonstrate this?
I think it's also worth to explain a little bit what I mean when I say impulse generator, because this does not mean that we having the most battery electric vehicles or we are the one with the least emissions on the planet. This means that we deal with that topic really in a realistic way. And we also allow ourselves to give statements what is not possible. And this is for me also an impulse saying we tried that, but this failed, or we tried that and we found out that this is move we as DAXA cannot support, or even the industry should not support that. So therefore, that's impulse generator when I try to say. Looking at some pilots, I think our e-mobility sites, they are really very, very beneficial because we also share these learnings to the industry, could see that having more than one battery electric vehicle on the yard means much more, because it means also having enough infrastructure to load the battery. You need intelligence to share the available energy to several trucks. You need to deal also with photovoltaic sites on top. And bringing all that together, I think our e-mobility site approach is a big success. Second, there are the so-called DAXA emission-free delivery areas. By the end of this year, we promised already 3 years ago that we will have 25 of them, 25 DAXA emission-free delivery areas in 25 metropolitan areas in cities where we as DAXA deliver emission-free in the industrial sector in a certain defined area in a mega city, in a city without any emission. And I think this is really remarkable. And this was also a long, long journey to come to such a success.
When you initiate these new projects, I mean, you need to know where you're putting the money and why it's important. This is one of the key pillars of DAXA's climate protection strategy, the idea of research and innovation. So how important do you think this is in the field of climate protection? What role does it play?
Like always, it's very, very important that first we understand the problem, the challenge in theory. And we did a lot of research, what kind of technologies are available on the market, what advantages and disadvantages are there. And also, it does not mean that the best technology will be finally the winner. There are for sure some hydrogen trucks, there are some fuel cell electric vehicles on the market, but currently it looks like that the battery electric vehicles will win the race. And therefore, we also have, as you said, to think about how much money we put on which technology. For example, we did not buy any of the LNG trucks a few years ago because we considered that still as a fossil source. And luckily, the price for LNG exploded, and we decided right before in the right direction that we did not put a lot of money into that technology. So it's really worth to have also a theoretical background, and this is done by R&D. And then we have teams in road logistics, in operations, where we really try to bring things together and make them work.
That LNG example is a perfect example of how important it is to know the facts before you implement measures or invest. These initiatives are definitely not cheap, so you do want to know you're putting your money into the right place. One of the areas that DAXA is putting this investment, as you've mentioned, is electric transport. And I think the Eco Performance Award actually acknowledged DAXA's strategic approach to implementing electromobility in its logistics network, which is lots of complex words there. But very simply, this means your use of electric vehicles and the supporting technology. We all know that road freight emissions make up a huge portion of total CO2 across the transport industry. So are electric trucks already competitive alternatives to diesel vehicles for long distance transport? I think that's a very important distinction.
So I think we have to differentiate a little bit. It took us some time to understand that it's possible, much easier, to run a battery electric vehicle in the short distance area, because usually those trucks drive roughly 200 kilometers. And then you return back to the terminal. And if you have the charging infrastructure in your terminal, it sounds reasonable to do that. From a cost point of view, especially in Germany or in Switzerland, where we have the toll on the Autobahn, there's a huge, huge advantage of battery electric vehicles compared to combustion engines, because battery electric vehicles do not have to pay toll. And this is up to 30 cents roughly in Germany, and in Switzerland, even 1 euro per kilometer. And if you consider that as given, and the EU released the law to extend that to by 2031. So 'tis most likely that battery electric vehicles will not have to pay toll for the Autobahn kilometer. And if you consider that advantage into the whole cost calculation, and if you then use long distance trucks, which are commuting roughly 150 to 180,000 kilometers per year, adding then the extra cost for a battery electric vehicle and using, let's say, a constant diesel price, a constant energy price, then there are some routes already who are at least equally to the combustion engine. So there are use cases, especially, for example, a shuttle where there's a little bit of Autobahn in between, a production site where we pick up several trailers per day, bringing the goods to the warehouse or to the transit terminal. These are the easy use cases, I would say, if our customers are contributing as well with a charging station, with some loading points, with some additional invest, then it's quite easy to start with. Short distance, feasible, but very expensive compared to the tons avoided. And finally, as I said, in the line haul business, let's say, not meaning charter, because charter, that's the fourth pillar, really sending trucks around Europe. This is still nothing we think it's feasible at the moment because of missing public charging infrastructure. So sum it up, I think battery electric vehicles on long distance make sense if you connect two hubs in countries where there is a toll relief.
Yeah, having that infrastructure as well, the charging infrastructure, as you mentioned, is a very important point with electric vehicles. I think Daxa currently has around 170 electric trucks on the road in Europe. But one point that I want to raise is that this also comes with 700 charging points in 90 branches across 16 countries. And I believe these are all powered exclusively by renewable electricity. You hear a lot that charging points and the infrastructure associated with electric vehicles is one of the main challenges involved in going electric. I wonder from your view, what you think the biggest challenges that your company and I guess the industry as a whole still face on the road to decarbonization?
I think it's, first of all, availability of charging infrastructure and the energy itself behind. So it's easily to be calculated that the energy consumption is 10 times higher than right now. So that's a huge, huge issue for Europe, finally, where to get the energy. Then the question is where to bring the energy, if it exists, to the right point, which is for sure a charging station. And estimating that we would have all of that, it's a huge investment. And therefore, we need our partners, we need our commitments of our customers to contribute, because otherwise the whole transformation will not work.
Oh, I don't want to dwell on the challenges, so we're going to look at some more positive sides. What have been the most remarkable milestones that Daxa has achieved so far that you might be particularly proud of?
I think one of the breakthroughs was really the first Daxa emission-free delivery area, where we could prove that it's possible to do also groupage business with at least the last mile as a battery electric vehicle. Then we came up with different research and development results, where we thought, okay, battery electric vehicles becoming more and more flexible, becoming more and more a mean which is somehow comparable to a combustion engine. And I think with the latest orders we placed at the OEMs, we really did a huge step forward when we invested also in long distance. And I think when the toll is still not there, if the battery electric vehicles will be produced in an industrial way, meaning serious production, then I think this was a huge milestone, which from this milestone onwards, we will now be able to scale that up to build our zero emission transition plan on that and realize the emission reductions step by step.
So increasing the electric fleet is something that you're looking at. But what is another milestone that you think is in the future? What's next for Daxa in its sustainability journey?
What we also should mention is hydrogen. For sure, we have a fuel cell electric vehicle up and running since 3 years, but we still consider that as research and development. The cost for hydrogen per kilo are far too high currently, and therefore do not see any other, let's say, movement on that sector. What I think the next big milestone will be that we come up with a clear zero emission transition plan outlining how we think we as a company can decrease our emission, and also then involving our service partners and customers to contribute on that path. And I think once we are clear with that plan, this will be the next big milestone where we can build on further.
Yeah, there's lots of people involved in the sustainability journey across the logistics industry. And I'm curious, externally outside of DAXA, where do you think the driving force to become sustainable is or should be? Do you think it should be on governments to implement regulation, or do you think it should be consumers should push their suppliers more? I mean, where do you think this comes from?
I think we need all stakeholders. We as DAXA have sustainability in our values, so we initially do a lot to become more sustainable. And then for sure, the consumers, especially the young generation, is pushing on emission reduction, not knowing, quite often at least, who should pay for that. And our customers, for sure, they are usually the producers who are producing finally the consumer products. They have also to recognize that the transformation does not come for free. So I think having a framework, last but not least, from the EU, from the national governments, helps also a lot to have at least the same framework for all logistics providers. Because if you can imagine, if there is no framework at all, there are some who have a lot of investment and trying to do the best. And there are others maybe coming up with Euro 2 or Euro 3 diesel engines polluting a lot, but being much more cheaper. And this is a kind of unfair competition where I would wish that there is a certain framework, not too tight, but at least a framework around. Also, when it comes to city distribution, there are some cities really thinking about to let only battery electric vehicles into the city. And if the framework is the same for all, then we at least know how to do that. And therefore, I think it needs all stakeholders, for sure, not ignoring that we as DAXA also have to contribute.
I think that call to action is a great place to end the episode. I want to finish on some quick, lighthearted questions.
Yeah.
What is one small thing that you do in your daily routine that makes you feel a bit more eco-friendly?
Yeah, that's easy. I'm driving an e-company car.
Oh, that's brilliant. I bought a metal straw the other day and that made me feel quite good about myself. Is there an industry or sector outside of logistics that you think is making great progress in sustainability?
That's quite difficult to name a certain industry, but I think the food industry, because they are dealing directly with consumers, they already did a lot, especially when it comes to packaging or reducing the energy consumption, also dealing with water, which is for sure also something important, not maybe as a logistics provider, but as a production industry. And I think the food industry itself did a lot. And as I said, there are also some packaging solutions which are biodegradable at all. So there are, I would say, the first nice developments which we can see on the market, which are quite promising.
And as I mentioned, I've got my straw, but what is one item that often gets thrown away that you think could be made reusable?
Yeah, I think, again, looking at the packaging, there are so many packaging around fruit, around even sausages. If you try to get your sausage in a butchery with your own packaging, it's by regulatory reasons not allowed. And I think this is a quite easy move to allow that.
Stefan, thank you so much for joining me on Network Talk today. It's been wonderful to speak to you and hear all about DAXA's eco mission.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Charlotte.
Wow, what an episode. I found chatting with Stefan hugely inspiring. I mean, there's something really refreshing about hearing someone talk about sustainability and logistics with actual realism instead of just buzzwords. A few of my big takeaways from the conversation. I mean, first of all, that sustainability at DAXA isn't just a PR exercise. Stefan made it very clear that it is in the company's DNA and it's a core value, not just a marketing slogan. And it's great that they're focused on actually taking those practical, measurable steps towards decarbonisation and not just trying to lead by doing the absolute most, but by sharing what works and what doesn't. And I love that transparency. I mean, it is about moving the whole industry forward and not just about winning the sustainability race. I learned a ton about electromobility and the benefits there. And perhaps the most important message that Stefan said was that we need everyone on board. I mean, governments, customers, logistics providers, and even consumers play a role in making sustainability happen. And it's not free, obviously, but it is necessary. And on a lighter note, I'll never forget that his small eco habit is driving an electric company car while mine is just using a metal straw. I mean, clearly we're operating on slightly different scales there. One last thing. Did you notice that Stefan promised at the beginning to tell us more about Corporate Citizen Plus as another pillar of the sustainability strategy? Well, I never actually got around to asking him about that. And I think that's such a shame because it is a really exciting topic. I was reading about it before we did the episode, and with this program, DAXA actually goes beyond its core business to support things like environmental education, social responsibility, and sustainable development through partnerships, local projects, sustainable structures, donations, and volunteering initiatives. And the aim of this is to alleviate the effects of climate change for the affected communities in the countries of the global south. So something that I think would have been really interesting, but that just means that we have the perfect hook for another conversation with Stefan at some point, which I am really looking forward to. Thank you so much for joining me on Network Talk for another wonderful conversation with DAXA. I can't wait to see what the next episode has in store. See you next time.